Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are so iconic that I just say Famous Amos and it's like I can taste it. Each cookie is filled with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. And the word satisfying is very key there because some cookies are crunchy and brittle, and I don't like that. But Famous Amos has a deep, tooth-sinkable, satisfying crunch that I know and love. And Famous Amos classic bite-sized chocolate chip cookies are bringing back the original recipe that everyone knows and loves. One perfect bite, everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. It's kind of crazy to me to think that Italian food, which is so beloved across so much of the country, isn't cooked very much on Top Chef.
Well, it's not an easy food to cook on that show. Because Italian food or anything in Italy isn't really about like, oh, well, let's hurry up and get this done.
Right.
That is
right.
The opposite of Italian culture in all ways, shapes, and forms in anything they
right.
do.
What's that? It's August. We're on vacation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, you'll get your other courses in September.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. And today we're sharing a special bonus episode sponsored by Bertolli's new line of D'Italia sauces. In true Italian fashion, they take their time making these sauces. We'll get more into that later. But first, as much as we've talked about pasta on this show this year, we haven't spent a whole lot of time on sauce. Which ones go with which pasta shapes, and the correct way to combine the two. Yes, there is a correct way. Now, that voice you heard at the start of the show is Joe Flam. He won season 15 of Top Chef. He was executive chef at Chicago's Michelin-starred Spiaggia, and he just opened his own place in Chicago, Rosemary, named after his grandmother's. Bertolli connected us because Joe grew up in a big Italian family. He says when he was a kid, everyone had a role in preparing the sauce.
You know, you go to the store and you get two loaves of Italian bread, and there was always the one to eat with the sauce during the day that you just ate all day. You walk by as the sauce was cooking, you dip a piece of bread in the sauce, and the other one for dinner, obviously. You know, it was just kind of an event, and it was like anytime, you know, the rule always was if you walked into the kitchen, you stirred the sauce. Like, if you walked by the sauce, you didn't stir it, you didn't eat. It's an all-hands-on-deck situation. Like, you see the sauce, you stir the sauce. You know the rules. So it's, you know, it's a big part of it. It was one of those things that my house always smelled like growing up. The smell of, you know, olive oil and garlic heating up in a pan is very nostalgic of, like, being a little kid for me.
I'm imagining marinara sauce, like some kind of tomato-based sauce. Is that right? Like, is there meat in there? Like, what kind of sauce is in this pot that everyone's stirring?
It depends. You know what I mean? On some days, it was just your classic, you know, pomodoro marinara type thing. If it was a Friday in Lent, it would be clam sauce spaghetti with onions and tomatoes and lots of black pepper. Sometimes it was like, you know, my mom didn't make like a pot roast, but she would take like a piece of beef pot roast and you put it in the sauce and you let the pot roast cook in the sauce all day. And that was like a special like Sunday treat where you'd have like pot roast cooked in red sauce all day. And then you pull it apart and it was just delicious. Just eat that with rigatoni.
That sounds incredible. I need to eat that right now.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Now, as a chef, are you able to tease apart what was it about that sauce? I mean, of course, there's a nostalgia factor. It's the sauce you grew up with. But like, can you say like on a culinary level, what made it so good?
I think, you know, it's just taking the time and the effort to do it right. Cook it slow, take the time, use the right ingredients, and just you're putting the amount of time, technique, and love into it to make sure that it's something that's great.
And do you cook that for your family now?
Oh, for sure. My family, you know, they got to eat pasta once a week. My wife and my son and my daughter now, you know, I think it's one of those things. It's like if there's downtime, you're making sauce.
Now, I know you were the executive chef at Spiaggia, Michelin star restaurant in Chicago, probably one of the highest end Italian restaurants in the country. What was it like coming into that kitchen to work there as compared to sort of like the Italian food that you experienced growing up?
It was all this food that it was what they were doing in Italy at the time. It was very contemporary. It was ingredients super focused. And all these things, in a way, it was so different. But at the same time, it was all the same principle. You're taking the best stuff from what's around you and you're putting a lot of time and care and effort into it. And that's, you know, Italian cooking at its core. And now are we doing a little things? Are we using, you know, very nice products to make it more high-end? You know, truffles and caviar and all that, of course. But, you know, is the backbone of it the absolute same? Yeah, you're just, you know, you're cooking it with a lot of care.
It's interesting to me to think about, like, the evolution of Italian food in America. Italian food wasn't high-end 75 years ago. But is that something you've ever reflected on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, Italian food wasn't high-end 40 years ago. It was just the food people cooked with their families. It wasn't, you know, these chefs who came over with these recipes. It was everybody's nonna and their moms coming over here with the biggest pan they could possibly carry on their back and 20 pounds of Italian sausage and ready to feed at Arby.
Right. You now own your own restaurant, Rosemary, which is named after your two grandmothers, who are both important figures in your life. And I'm curious, like, beyond the basic lessons of time and ingredients, are there other lessons that you took from them that influence how you cook today?
You know, my grandma Mary, she's 92 now. She's the one who made me fall in love with traditions. We still make the ravioli for Thanksgiving. We still do Feast of the Seven Fishes. And, you know, this is her way of telling me about her mother and about her grandmother growing up on, you know, the south side of Chicago and what they did and with her siblings. And it was like, when I was a little girl, this is where I would go buy, you know, the squid with my mom. And, you know, we would take it back here and we would clean it. And, you know, it's cool for me to have those stories of, like, you know, when I was a little boy, my grandma would lay out all the newspaper on the table in the mudroom and we'd be cleaning the squid together for Christmas Eve. I have this great love and passion for that tradition, that history that goes into, you know, that dish.
Let's talk about sauces and pasta shapes. Now, there are some iconic pairings in Italian food, and then there's sort of some tendencies, like pappardelle with wild boar ragu. Like, those are always together.
Sure. Yeah.
Broccoli rabe and sausage with arrechiette. Always. I always see those together. Is there a sauce and a shape that is, like, especially genius or wonderful to you personally that you love?
I think people want to give all the love to spaghetti carbonara, but I think the real true winner is rigatoni carbonara. Rigatoni carbonara is the superior carbonara, hands down, every day of the week, twice on Sunday, and it doesn't get enough love. But when you go to Rome, you know, you eat at Roscioli, you go eat at Flavio Valvioletto, D'Anzo, all those places, some of the best carbonara shops in Rome are going to serve it to you with rigatoni, and it's, I mean, the best.
Carbonara, of course, for folks who don't know, I mean, rarely has there been a dish that is so decadent with so few ingredients. It's eggs, Parmesan cheese, and guanciale, which is salt-cured pork. It's creamy and salty and smoky. But why is a short tube like rigatoni better for carbonara than spaghetti?
I think because of the short noodle, it gives you texturally more perfect bites. You get the perfect combination of egg, pepperiness, saltiness of the cheese, and the fattiness of the guanciale, that it just makes the proportions of everything, like, perfect.
And I I'm on record as saying, Joe, this may ruffle some feathers, I'm just not the biggest fan of spaghetti. I love any pasta you put in front of me, but, like, it just doesn't do a whole lot.
Well, this is the thing. Really good spaghetti is the best. And this is the reason. Because an aglio e olio with spaghetti is perfection. And it's garlic and oil and pepper and chili. And that with just spaghetti, you're like, holy hell, this is the best. Spaghetti it's the Beatles of pasta, though. It's so overplayed that it's like when you hear Here Comes the Sun for the 4,000th time and, like, a shitty rendition of it, you're like, maybe I don't like the Beatles. And it's like, no, you don't not like the Beatles. You just don't like this horrible cover of spaghetti.
Well, that's a very persuasive argument, Joe. I don't think I can top that. Is there a pasta shape and sauce combo that you think is overrated or where, like, you feel like you could put your own spin on it? There's a better shape to go with this sauce.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of times when you see, like, a too fresh of pasta with either a carbonara or cacio e pepe, like a tagliatelle cacio e pepe, and there's just no texture to it. And it's like you need that dry pasta to carry it. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes you're like, oh, it'll be nice. We'll make the pasta. It's like, it's nice to make the pasta, but nobody in Italy would do that.
the fresh ones just get too soft.
Yeah. You need something dry to have the texture, that bite to it, to carry that pasta. So I think that's always one for me, is like certain pasta shouldn't be done with fresh pasta. You need something dry.
What's the most common mistake people are making when they're putting sauce on their pasta?
I think the most common mistake, my biggest one, is where they just cook the pasta, they dump the pasta out, they just take that jar, they just dump it right on top. Like, put the sauce in the pan, heat it up a little bit, and then toss the pasta in the sauce. Cook the pasta in the sauce a little bit. You get that marriage, and then it's, like, really, really beautiful. If, you know, if you have a nice, beautiful sauce like that, like the Bertolli, you want that flavor from that sauce to go into those noodles, right? You want it to go into that pasta.
It's not just about coating the pasta. It's also about infusing the pasta.
Right. The same way, you know, you season your pasta water for a reason, right? Because that salt is going to go into that pasta. So if you then take that pasta and you put it in that sauce, all that flavor is going to go into those noodles.
Right. So, like, let's say the box says cook for 10 to 12 minutes. Really what you should be doing is cooking for like 8 or 9 minutes, drain it, then back into the pan in the sauce and simmer it in the sauce for another couple minutes.
Yeah, it's like back into the sauce with like a ladle full of the pasta water so that it thins out the sauce a little bit, and then it lets the sauce thicken back up, heat up, and get all nice and congealed with the pasta.
It's time now for the lightning round, Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to name one of these four new Bertolli sauces, and I just want you to tell me in one sentence like why it's so good. Number one, marinara. There's a lot of jarred marinaras out there. What makes this one good?
This one, I love the sun-ripened tomatoes they use. It's sweet, but it's balanced, and I think, you know, a great marinara, it's you know, your little black dress. It goes with everything.
Right. Creamy Rosa.
The Creamy Rosa is nice. It's almost like a vodka sauce, and I think it's just something a little bit more rich, which is really nice with like a penne or a gnocchi. My wife loves like gnocchi with that kind of Creamy Rosa sauce.
I've never cooked vodka sauce myself. I would buy it at a store, and so it's just the kind of thing where like it's nice that there's a high-quality version of it you can just pick up.
Vodka sauce is like, yeah, like I've made it, but like my wife was going to make it. She'd be like, I don't know, this is a lot. So it's like nice to be like, here you go. Here you go. Here it is.
Right, right. Number three, Alfredo.
The Alfredo's nice. You know, they use great quality cheeses. And when you have it a cheese sauce, it's only going to be as good as what you start with. So, you know what I mean? Starting with something that's really, really nice. Using good quality Italian cheeses, I think, is really, really important. So it gives it that nice, not just creamy flavor, but like nuttiness, richness to it, where there's kind of levels to it.
Would you do fettuccine with the Alfredo, or would you pick a different shape?
I'm not a big fettuccine guy. If I was doing the Alfredo, you know, I like a gnocchi Alfredo.
Ooh, that sounds very decadent.
Very, very decadent.
And then there's the four cheese Alfredo, which is just like really, that's like New Year's Eve, I feel like. You're just going all the way.
I think that's the one you do with the gnocchi, and then you shave the black truffles over the top, and you know what I mean? Call it a year. Send me home.
That's Joe Flam, chef and owner of Rosemary in Chicago, on behalf of Bertolli. And these new Bertolli d'Italia sauces are made in Italy, crafted with vine-ripened tomatoes under the Italian sun, finely aged Italian cheeses, fresh cream, and Mediterranean olive oil. The folks at Bertolli take their time making these sauces. That's why they're authentically Italian and authentically delicious. There's marinara, creamy rosa, Alfredo, and four cheese Alfredo. Look for them in your local grocery store. And find more sauces, recipes, and meal inspiration at bertolli.com/d'Italia. That's bertolli.com/d'Italia. We'll also have a link on our website. Again, that's bertolli.com/d'Italia. This show is produced by me, along with senior producer
Emma Morgenstern
and producer
Andres O'Hara.
Our editor is
Tracy Samuelson.
The show is mixed by
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Peter Clowney and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Kiana. I'm 11 years old and I live in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better. Definitely more better.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.